Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, I got to tell you, after a week full of talking about COVID tests and the Titans and whether or not they're going to play, all this stuff going on with the NFL, I am excited to talk about some actual college football. And to do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good buddy Ryan McGee from ESPN, also co-host of Marty and McGee. Ryan, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, I don't know if you guys heard, but the Titans had some COVID stuff. Y'all might want to make some phone calls. Yeah. Check Twitter. I hear some stuff going on down there.
Yeah, oh, shoot. Is that happening down
That's
here?
That's a good point. Darn it. We've been breaking down Bill's blitz packages all week. Right. What are we doing?
Yeah. I appreciate y'all keeping on top of it because it's been nothing like being at the epicenter, you know. But great job.
Thank you. Thanks, appreciate it. And Ryan, obviously, people around here, that aside, are very excited about the Tennessee and Georgia game tomorrow. Vols off to a 2-0 start. How do you view this matchup between Tennessee and Georgia? And do you think the Vols have at least a decent shot at going in there and pulling off the upset?
I think the Vols have a shot, but I think that bigger picture, it's just great for, if you're a Tennessee fan, the game matters. Like, people are talking about it. Yeah. I mean, nationally, people are saying, and COVID aside, I think people would have been talking about this game anyway. So the fact that you're, what I've said so many times over the last, decade plus, that Tennessee's kind of lost in the wilderness is, you just want to be part of the conversation again. You just want people to talk about you when it's time for the Georgia game, when it's time for the Florida game, when you hit November. And they're in the conversation. They certainly were last November, and they certainly are now, and they certainly more than likely will be when that Florida game comes around at the end of the year. So, yeah, to me, it's all about forward progress. So, listen, I think Georgia's better. I don't think there's any question about that. I think Georgia is absolutely top five team in the country. But the fact that there's a chance and the fact that there's a conversation taking place, you need to be a little realistic. But at the same time, there's no reason going in to not believe you got a chance.
Well, speaking of the conversation, Ryan, it's amazing to me to think back like a year, on the conversation around Jeremy Pruitt. And, at this time last year, it's, okay, what's the buyout number? When is Fulmer taking over? Is that week 8, yeah, week 10, right? What about from your perspective? I mean, how much, if at all, has Jeremy Pruitt, I guess, changed your mind or changed your perception of what he's been doing? I mean, last year was just such a dramatic turnaround, especially from probably rock bottom of that Florida game.
I never once didn't believe that Jeremy Pruitt knew football. I knew that he knew the X's and O's. I mean, my colleague, Cole Kuehler, made headlines in the state this week when he said that he thought that Jeremy Pruitt was one of the best football minds, X's and O's guys in football. I don't disagree with that. And if you know his pedigree and you know his story and he's the coach's son and obviously learning under Saban and all that, the man knows football. My question was always, could he handle the other stuff? And what my measuring stick on these things is SEC Media Days. And one of the million reasons I was bummed we missed it this year was it was shocking to me how different he was his first SEC Media Days 3 years ago versus a year ago, or 2 years ago versus a year ago, because it was like, he came in that room with Marty McGee. And, that room, that's a loose room. We're asking goofy questions and biscuits, cornbread and all that. And he just, he was so Robotronic. It was like the Hall of Presidents. Like, he just was just going through whatever. And then last year, he was engaging. And when you were in the building last year, you could see, he wasn't worried about trying to figure out where this was and where that was and Fulmer looking over his shoulder and what booster did I have to meet with today and this player got in trouble in chemistry class or whatever. He knows how to handle those things now, certainly better than he did. And he knows how to delegate better than he did. So that's the part that's encouraging, I think, if you're a Tennessee fan, which is I never expected him to just not understand football. But I was worried about the CEO part of the job. That's the part that the new coaches will always tell you. I was talking to Sam Pittman in Arkansas about this just a couple of days ago. You get that head coaching job, and you think you know what it's like. because you've been an assistant head coach or a coordinator or whatever, and you have no idea. So that's encouraging, the fact that he has a better handle on that stuff than I thought he would.
Ryan McGee from ESPN on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan, I got a lot of college football things I want to touch on with you, but real quickly, you told an incredible story to Pablo Torre of ESPN about meeting Mike Leach and drinking with Mike Leach when he was in Washington. It could be one of the most incredible things I've ever heard. For those listeners who haven't heard this story yet, what happened?
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm trying to decide if I should, maybe I overshared.
Impossible.
Much as I was overserved in Pullman. So I went out to Pullman a few years ago, and I don't, you know, listen, it is not our job to make friends with the rock stars, right? I'm not buddies with coaches. I'm not friends. You know, I don't spend a lot of time, you know, jack-jawing with them, or certainly don't spend any time going out with them. But I went out to Pullman, Washington State 3 years ago, off like an 8-0 start, top 10. They had USC coming in to Pullman on a Friday night. I'd never been to Pullman. And I flew out there, and the SID, one of the all-time good guys, and he said, listen, man, you got 15 minutes. He said, that's all I can give you. That, you know, it's a short week. You know, it's the biggest game, home game we've had here since Ryan Leaf was in town. He said, so this is a big deal. I go, okay. I said, he said, but listen, he said, if you get an in with him, you know, that'll help. You know, you might can get a little extra time. He's thinking like an extra 20 minutes. Well, I shamelessly wore this Father's Day necktie my wife and daughter gave me, which was like this, you know, cartography seafarers map of the coast of North Carolina. And I had it on, and during the sport, 15-minute sports interview, I'm kind of fiddling with my tie, and I see him looking at it. And the interview's over with, and he goes, what's the story on this tie? I go, oh, Coach, this is a map of the coast of North Carolina. This is the beach I grew up going to. In fact, we used to play on a grounded Confederate blockade runner that was on that beach when I was a kid. It's gone now. It disappeared under the sand. And I stayed 3 days. And he was, and I met him out after practice one night, and he's notorious for sleeping in. He walked to work, and I got a text. He was walking back 5 miles back home at midnight. He texted. He said, hey, meet me at this place and call Buddy Levy. Buddy Levy was this history professor at Washington State. I didn't know that guy. He had co-written a book with Coach, and I tracked him down and met him. And, yeah, in honor of his time in Key West, I attempted to drink all the rum in the city.
It's incredible stuff.
That's outstanding. Well, let's keep it with Mike Leach on the field, and to show you're not just his buddy, Ryan. He's you know, this is the week now when people are going to be all down on him, but this is sort of the Mike Leach experience, right?
Yeah, it is, and I said this to Pablo, and I tweeted it last week. It's the Mike Leach press conference of statistics when you realize that you know, against LSU. They ended the longest winning streak in the SEC, and then against Arkansas they ended the longest losing streak in the SEC and back-to-back weekends. So yeah, but this weekend is Leach isn't an overly emotional guy. He will be emotional going back to Lexington, and for folks out there who don't know, and I've actually got a big story on SEC Nation. Tomorrow morning about this on SEC Network. You know, for folks that don't know, Mike Leach was the offensive coordinator under Hal Mumme when they introduced the air raid to the SEC in 1997 and 98, and then he left for the Texas Tech job. And he has always and I joke about going out to Pullman and spending those days with him, but I realized during those couple of days I was out there how emotional he would get talking about the SEC publicly. He would run the SEC down. Oh, they're not that great, and you know, if you got good football players, you got good football players, and all this stuff. Well, he said that because he didn't think he was ever going to get a chance to come back, and he was heartbroken when he thought he had the Tennessee job. And of course, famously, the athletic director was fired. Curry was fired on the flight home from interviewing Leach for that job, and so he didn't believe he was going to get a chance to get back in the conference. And those 2 years he spent in Lexington, he loved. Loved. He tells those stories about going to Neyland and going to LSU and going to Alabama. And so he is so excited to go back to Lexington. And he also would like to let everyone know that, yes, this offense will work. It just had a bad week last week.
Ryan McGee from ESPN on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan, I watched the end of that Oklahoma game last week. And number one, my first question was, have they worked on tackling at any point so far during camp? But how surprised are you with what we've seen out of Oklahoma 2 weeks in a row with back-to-back losses.
A whole conference.
Yeah.
It's like they just weren't ready. And I don't know if, you know, and I've said this to you guys, you know, on this show. You know, I give Greg Sankey all the credit in the world for waiting the longest, you know, of the teams that planned on playing originally in the fall, for the SEC waiting the longest, because I think it gave them time to be ready. Big 12 wasn't ready yet. I mean, it's just obvious. The officials weren't ready. Like, no one looks prepared. You know, they've got game op problems. They've had all sorts of COVID issues. You know, and, but just football-wise, they just weren't ready. Texas will look so good and then look so bad. And Oklahoma's defense is just – listen, they've always been a little porous, but not like this, not just fundamental issues. And so it's just like that throughout the entire conference. So I, you guys know I write the bottom 10 for ESPN.com.
Yeah.
And we've done it – I've done it, I think, 3 weeks now, and I think six Big 12 teams have been in that – five Big 12 teams have been in the coveted fifth spot, which is the spot reserved for a team that's had a – and now Oklahoma's just in it outright. So it's just – it's – it's just crazy to me. But I just – I think there's just – there was a lack of preparation because it's just sloppy. The number of penalties in these games, and it's not targeting and all that stuff. It's procedures and substitution infractions and – you know, illegal formations and just sloppy stuff that, yeah, you see that in September, but not from what was supposed to be a team that was going to make a playoff run. So, yeah, and it's the most 2020 thing ever, isn't it, that this year would probably be the year you could find the cheapest ticket off the street for the Red River rivalry, and neither one of them are any good, and they're not any fans. Or at least it's limited fans. So, yeah, the 1 year you could get a good seat for a cheap price, because they're both off to bad starts. You can't even do that.
Yeah, big disappointment. So you mentioned Sam Pittman earlier, Ryan. I know you guys had him on Marty and McGee. After week two, because of course week one, I'm just looking at Georgia saying, oh my gosh, what is going on with them? And of course, you know, we're talking about Leach this week, but man, what about the job Sam Pittman is doing so far at Arkansas?
Yeah. No, it's great, and look at that staff, and the mistake, like I mentioned earlier, and we had Sam Pittman on Marty McGee's radio show back in August, and talked about this, and then we kind of revisited that with him on Marty McGee Television Wednesday night, which was, again, that transition into being the head coach, even though that guy's coached his entire life. You know, what's the difference between, you know, moving one step over on the roster, being the associate head coach and then being the head coach? And he's handled it great, and he's done it because he's delegated. And, you know, controversy aside, Kendall Briles knows football as an offensive coordinator. But Barry Odom is a great football coach, and he got a raw deal at his alma mater in Missouri. And he went to Sam Pittman on Sunday morning. After that Georgia win, he said, if you let me do what I want to do, we can shut that offense down from Mississippi State that just hung, you know, 620 yards, you know, on LSU. And he let Barry Odom do his thing. And guess what? They shut it down. So, yeah, it's a confident group. I loved his post-game speech. You know, he's the yes, sir guy and all the hollering and hooting and all that stuff he does. But that was a very subdued post-game speech because he wanted those guys to know, you know, we just let the world know that we're actually pretty good. So, yeah, listen, Chad Morris' struggle, his struggle as a head football coach at Arkansas still befuddles me. I just can't believe he just didn't know how to do it. But he recruited, and so there's talent in the building. And that was obvious if you watched them, that deal, particularly on defense, shut down Mississippi State.
Ryan McGee from ESPN has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hey, Ryan, great stuff, man. We appreciate you joining us as always.
Anytime, boys, and keep your eye on them COVID tests.
we got them. We will, no question about it. Ryan McGee, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll continue to react a little bit to what Ryan had to say there. Also, look ahead to a big weekend in the SEC. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.